Good morning, everybody. How did you sleep last night? Like good yogis? Good. Are you sleeping now? Last night I was talking mostly about Patanjali, how the yoga is developed in different stages, like the Ashtanga Yoga, Yama Niyama, Asana Pranayama. And I divided that to suit the different bodies. When I say different bodies, it's not the different persons. One and the same person has different bodies. The scripture calls it the Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya Koshas. Kosha means sheath of the body. The Annamaya, the body made of food. Anna means food. Or you can say physical body. Then Pranamaya, body made of vitality, prana. Then Manomaya, body made of mind. And then the mind is divided into different levels. The ordinary, simple, desirous mind. Constantly, I want this, I want that, I want it, I like it, I like it. That kind of mind. Another one, should I have it or not? Is it necessary? Will it benefit me? Questioning. Vijnanamaya is called. Vijnanam, scientific mind. It questions, analyzes. That is a different body, in the same mental level, a higher level. And then there is one more, Anandamaya. Just be. I am. There's nothing else. I am by myself happy. I don't need to know anything. I don't need to get anything. I don't have to depend on anything or anybody. I am just happy. That is Anandamaya. Ananda means bliss. And then this is all still within the mind. It's the mind that recognizes that I am bliss. Because I am free from all the desires. You rise above your wants. That's why sometimes we say, he is a man of no wants. Not that after having everything you don't have any want. Whether you have things around you or not, even without a penny in the pocket, you can be wantless person. Buddha talks a lot about that. Desireless mind. Because it's the desire that creates all problems. I want it, I want that, I want that. You go to grab. But the question may be asked, shouldn't I want things? Where is the harm if I want? In the ordinary level, it's okay. But if you are looking for something more, higher, if you are looking for something more peaceful and blissful state, always happy, you can't have the want. Am I contradicting now? If you want to have the blissful state, you should not have want. As every time I talk about this, I'm reminded of an elderly Zen monk in Hong Kong. As he was talking about desirelessness, he quietly got up and said, Swami, that's all wonderful, but don't you think Wanting to be desireless itself is a desire. Very true, yes. That's because we are all used to having wants. So we have to start from our level. If you want something, want that you don't want anything. And then if you accomplish that want of not wanting anything, you don't want anything. The desireless desire is a sort of catalytic agent. You have to use it temporarily to achieve something. Once you achieve, the temporary thing slips out. I'll give a more simple day-to-day example. We are all experts in keeping our dress clean. Everybody wants a clean dress. We don't want any dirt. It should be cleaned regularly. How do you clean your dress? To remove the dirt, you go to the shop, pay some money, buy a piece of dirt. Mr. Palmer is making fear. What is this? You go and buy dirt? Yes. It's good looking, good smelling, well named. Sometimes they call it Lux. Sometimes they call it Ivory. Palm Olive. The general term is soap, but to me it's dirt. You buy a piece of soap, it's nothing but dirt. And what do you do with the dirt? Soak the material in water, apply this dirt over the other dirt. Seldom we realize what is exactly happening at that moment. If you think of it, you will know, yes, Swami is right. Swami is always must be right anyway. When you apply this soap, what happens? All the dirt that was holding on to the cloth, looks some new dirt coming. And you know, the birds of the same feather, flock together. So as soon as they saw some new dirt, good smelling, under nice label coming in, they all gather to receive the new dirt. Hey, come on, come on, who are you? What's your name? Where do you come from? And they all want to chum up. That means in that enthusiasm of receiving a new friend of their own type, they forget the hold on the cloth. And the laundry man knows the exact time when everybody left the cloth and is busy in receiving the new dirt. He simply puts it in the water, shakes it, takes out the cloth. The pure cloth comes out. The old dirt plus the new dirt stay behind in the water playing. Soap is nothing but a temporary agent. It has performed its job, and dirt goes with dirt. That is how we clean the garments. The entire spiritual practices, all kinds of practice, whatever you call it, There are many labels to that. Bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, karma yoga, raja yoga, laya yoga, mantra yoga, tantra yoga, yantra yoga. You have hundreds of labels, all aimed towards yoga. As I said last night, yoga means to keep yourself pure. Keep clean. Yoga. Clean from what? Dirt. What is the dirt? Disturbance of the body and mind. So when the body and mind gets disturbed, you have to add on one more disturbance to get rid of the old disturbance. And that add-on things are what you call practices. Japa, meditation, need a teacher, a technique. These are all temporary add-on. Once you achieve that purity, you don't need the teacher anymore, you don't need the practice anymore, you don't need your japa, tapa. All should just stay behind. They should relieve you. Instead, if you say, no, I still need the teacher, I still need my mantra japa, then you are still depending on something. Your attainment is not independent. You haven't gotten the freedom. Real freedom, liberation, moksha. You should be free from any kind of impediment. In one of the Hindu scriptures, it is said that even the desire to know God or even the desire to get liberated is a bondage. Moksha veksho bandha. Bandha means bondage. Moksha, liberation. Abeksha, desire. Moksha veksho. Even the desire to get liberated is a bondage. How could that be? See how we get bound? You are already free. The moment you forget that, then you say, oh, I want to get freed. Then you are bound. Freedom means you are completely free from any anxiety, any desire, any want. We talk about a lot of freedoms nowadays. National freedom, communal freedom, religious freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of thought. Our American Constitution talks a lot about various kinds of freedoms. But I tell them, all these freedoms are not real freedoms. Until you realize that you are free, until you experience that freedom, you are nothing but freedom. True. Scriptures proclaim the truth. The basic problem is that ignorance. We simply have ignored, forgotten our true entity, our true identity. When God created all the things one by one, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. Ultimately, he created man. The last creation, the highest creation, if we could say so, it's man who says so. God never said that. Anyway. In a way, I feel all other creations were better than us. We are the people who are creating a lot of problems to God and to ourselves. Since God created the man, his hands are very busy. He couldn't even go to sleep. All other things were just following the nature's law. A plant is a plant. An animal is an animal. There are no problems. Have you ever heard a plant complaining? Take for example an apple tree. It never came to God and complained, "What, sir, I have been an apple tree since all these years. Can't you at least temporarily make me an orange tree for a few days?" No problem. "God, you wanted me to be an apple tree? I am an apple tree, that's all. I'm happy to be as you created me." A cat stays as a cat. It doesn't want to be a dog. Even among the dogs, a male dog would want to be a male dog. No problem. It never came to God and say, "At least for a few days, could you make me a female dog?" I hear the other fellows go to the clinic and get some injection and convert themselves. "Can't you do that to me?" We are not satisfied with anything. Temporary satisfaction, and it wanes very soon. We want something more, something different, doesn't it? Keep on changing. We are never comfortable. That's because we have forgotten our real nature. That by nature we are happy. That's why God, when God created Adam, I don't know whether I'm giving Bible lesson or yoga lesson. By now you know how mixed I am. I'm a mixer. True, that's what you call integral yoga. Integral yoga means put all together. Oneness. Everything and every scripture. Ultimately, it talks about the same truth. If we have an eye, we can see that truth, same truth, presented in everything. So when God created Adam, what did he do? He was a little boy, and he held his hand, walked around the garden, and the boy was so happy, excited in seeing all these things. "Dad, you did this?" "Yes, my dear boy." They were enjoying this various creations. At one point he stood there, a big, beautiful big tree laden with fruits. "Dad, what is that?" Said, "Adam, that is the tree of wisdom. But you don't have to eat the fruit. Right?" Unfortunately, God never even asked God, "Can I eat the fruit?" He didn't even know whether the fruit is to eat or not. But God unnecessarily told him, "Hey, don't eat the fruit." Imagine you have a little boy, Johnny. You take him to the kitchen, open the refrigerator, show him a nice big basket, box of chocolate. Simply show him and say, "Johnny, don't eat that. Close." And you know what Johnny would do. He'll be sitting there meditating on it. Simply waiting for you to move out. Adam was not an exception. Just because God said that. But why should God say that? That's where the secret is. God created man in a little different way. All other species do not have that choice, do not have that freedom. They are created that way, they remain that way. They have not been given that freedom, the choice of do it or not. Only human beings have been given that freedom. There are two ways. This way good, this way bad. Shreyas and prayas, they call it. This will be always make you happy. This will be giving you temporary pleasures. Choose. Only in the human level that choice was given. Don't think only nowadays in the examinations choices are given. Even then, God gave choice. It seems that He told Adam, "Adam, I created you in my image." Is it not so? God made man. Is it only man? I think so. God made man in His image. Is it true? No. I think in America they are rewriting the Bible. Yeah. Well, anyway, let's take it like that. So God told Adam, "Say, I have created you in my image." And what is my image? Always happy. Always contented, always peaceful, always joyful. Because I am spirit. I don't need anything to be happy. My happiness never fades. As spirit, I am neither hungry, nor thirsty, nor sleepy. I am above all these things. And you are my image. As such, you are above hunger, thirst, and all these physical and mental phenomena. Therefore, you don't have to eat the fruit, because you are not hungry. Do I eat fruit? Ask all the devotees who bring me tray full of fruits. Do I ever eat even a single banana? When you go to the church and temple, you take a lot of offerings, fruits, food materials. In the church you don't do much, only the bread you take. In India, tray full of fruits, coconut and what not, nice puddings. And God never ate anything. That is the reason why they take it. If ever God started eating, touching even one fruit, I am sure nobody will take it anymore. Yeah. That's a side subject anyway. So spirit is above all these physical traumas. So as such, Adam, you are always peaceful, always happy, you are spirit. So you don't have to eat the fruit. That is one point to note. That's what you call the forbidden fruit. God indirectly told Adam that you don't have to eat. At the same time, I have given you a mind, spirit plus mind, and a body too. If you put yourself in the mental and physical level, then you think you are hungry. You like to eat things. You like to enjoy things. Then even in that level, this advice helps you. Do not eat the fruit. This do not eat the fruit is to be understood in two different levels. One level, you are happiness personified. You are above all these physical things, physical dharma, if you want to call it. So you don't have to eat the food. That's one point. Another point, even if you are in the mental level, if you think of eating the fruit of your action, you develop anxiety. You disturb your mind. The fruit of your activities, the fruit of your life. What is that fruit of our activity? Whatever you do, you want something in return. I do this, I must get this. Even if I don't get anything physical, material, I should at least get the acknowledgement, a thank you note. Because I did it. If I don't get a thank you note, I say, what kind of barbarian type of person? He doesn't even have the courtesy to send a thank you note. You have done something nice, now you didn't get the thank you note, you get so upset. You are criticizing that person. Even having done something nice, you are not happy because you didn't get thanks. That's what God said. I say, if you have done something, leave it there. If you look for even a thanks in return, you are going to disturb your mind. Because even if you think you are the mind, you can keep it always balanced. You can be always happy even in the mental level. Mind by itself is also happy. It's balanced, serene, tranquil. If you do something, you disturb it. And what is it that you should not do? Do not expect anything in return. That is the fruit of your action. That is forbidden. We call it karma yoga. Karma yoga means, karma means action, karma yoga, selfless action. Action just for the joy of acting and not to look anything in return. I am just doing it because I like it, I do it. Whether you thank me or not, that's your business. I'm not expecting that. That is karma yoga, one-way traffic. Do you know the very same thing you see in Bhagavad Gita? The essence of Bhagavad Gita is this note. It says, karmanyevadikaraste ma paleshu. Which means, Krishna tells Arjuna, like God told Adam, Arjuna, you are entitled to act. You are free to act if you want it. Go ahead, do whatever you want. But not for the fruit. Karmanyevadikar, you are empowered to act. Ma paleshu, not the fruit. He also uses the very same words. In Sanskrit, phalam means fruit. So there is a forbidden fruit in Bhagavad Gita, exactly like the forbidden fruit of Bible. It's only a matter of understanding the scriptures well. Karma Yoga, we call it.